Hi guys, I'm Andrew Davidson with AsPerMyAbility.com. From Area 51 to UFOs, philosophers, scientists, and literary minds have been plagued with the same timeless, ubiquitous question. Are we alone in the universe? Alien invasions and close encounters is the stuff of Hollywood, with movies like the Oscar-nominated Arrival and the incredibly popular Alien franchise. And yes, I'm skipping over the fourth Indiana Jones movie on purpose because, well, quite frankly, I'm childish and still butthurt over that film. But seeing otherworldly creatures on the big screen, it fills us with awe and excitement. Conspiracy theorist or not, the Earth has had one, just one, documented alien attack on American soil. On Halloween 1938, Orson Welles, Mr. Citizen Kane himself, accompanied by a troupe of talent known as the Mercury Theater on the Air, enacted and performed a realistic, dramatic reenactment of H.G. Wells's 1887 novel, War of the Worlds. The broadcast caused widespread panic across America. Individuals tuned in to something resembling a news report of attacking ships from the sky and the complete destruction of American cities. The public feared for their lives. But why? What was it about the radio dramatization that caused such an uproar across the nation? When you click on the radio during your drive to work in the morning, what do you hear? These days, radio stations do their best to minimize commercial time. Who wants to hear about deals on mattresses and pillows during your morning commute when a killer tune is just what your bitter, nihilistic soul needs to face another bleak and dismal day at the office? As much as people dislike commercials interrupting their tune time, to be honest, it's nothing like it used to be. In the 1930s, and for many, many decades following, radio stations ran either live or pre-recorded commercials almost nonstop. Every 2 minutes, no matter what program was on, the station would run a commercial. Even news stories were interrupted with live ad readings for things like toothpaste, cigarettes, and Spam. President Roosevelt met with his advisors today to discuss the plan to stimulate the economy. He's calling it the New Deal Plan, and it would be a heck of a deal for suffering Americans who are without food and jobs. According to the latest nationwide results, the economy is in the tank. Speaking of economy, how about blessing your loved ones at home with an economy-sized set of luggage by the Bartoli brothers? You'll love the new sleek and slim design on all the Bartoli brothers' new economy line products. With so many reasons to be depressed, why not cheer up your traveling by traveling in style? Speaking of traveling, here's Roger with the weather. Now, as the Mercury Theater on the Air troupe registered as a drama group, they were granted special permissions by CBS Radio. The reenactment continued for an entire hour, uninterrupted. Not only was that uninterruption unprecedented, but it strengthened the narrative immersion. When the news anchor drops and cuts to an advertisement about Ovaltine, the American public understands. However, if something as devastating and apocalyptic as in an alien invasion and potential end of the world, well, Ovaltine and other such commercials would have to pound sand. The result? Americans lost their minds. People got in their cars, attempting to get out of the densely populated cities. Others shoved their families into fallout shelters for protection. Americans believed that a Martian invasion was devastating major metropolitan areas like New York City. Naturally, the whole arrangement was a goof. Orson Welles wrote and directed the broadcast as a quote-unquote Halloween prank. He had no idea the performance would lead to mass hysteria. In fact, the dramatization kicked off with an announcer stating, "The Columbia Broadcasting System and affiliated station present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the Air in the War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells." However, historians surmise that many listeners may have been listening to the immensely popular The Chase and Sanborn Hour with Edgar Bergen and tuned their dials in just a few moments too late, missing the introduction stating that the following is nothing more than a science fiction radio drama. It just so happens I was a young lad when the Blair Witch Project came out. For those of you who don't know, the Blair Witch Project was the first found footage film, and yes, I'm putting aside the 1980 Italian film Cannibal Holocaust because, quite frankly, I want nothing to do with that film. Blair Witch marketed itself as a real incident caught on tape. The trailers told us it was real. There were fake websites telling us it was real. There were fake interviews with people telling us it was real. In fact, even the actors went underground and were not allowed to do any interviews or press to promote the film. Today, with 1,000,001 found footage films in existence, well, we know better. However, back in 1999, not a single movie carried out a promotional campaign the way that the Blair Witch Project did. Orson Welles' radio broadcast was like the Blair Witch Project. All facets of the news got in on the so-called fun. The performance freaked enough people that hundreds of individuals rioted and attacked El Comerico, a local newspaper that participated in the hoax by publishing articles of unidentified flying objects being reported all around the world. During the riot, 7 people were killed. That's right, folks. A mere radio performance sent America into such panic that it led to the loss of many, many lives. The ultimate takeaway from Welles' ambitious radio program? Well, fake news kills, I guess. In this case, literally. For those listeners interested in hearing a portion or the entire 60-minute broadcast, a link has been provided in the show notes for this episode. War of the Worlds, The New Wave, is a 2019 combat game created by Dennis Plastinen and published by Gray Fox Games. The game is for 2 players, as it pits 1 alien player against a human player. Essentially, War of the Worlds is an asymmetrical, competitive, deck-building war game. And kudos to the designer for conflating mechanisms and themes not typically seen in many games. Let's take a snapshot look at everything War of the Worlds has to offer. First, there are 2 factions, aliens and humans. Each faction plays with its own deck of cards, own miniatures, and win condition. This offers replayability as playing each side provides completely new experiences and strategies. Next, the game is entirely competitive and kind of nasty. There's no love lost in War of the Worlds. As a 2-player only game, the game places paramount importance on the strategies developed and implemented to wield against their opponent. And lastly, War of the Worlds is a straight-up war game. Unlike, let's say, Star Wars Rebellion, where there's so much going on outside of generating armies and smashing them together in combat, War of the Worlds centers strictly around destruction, inflicting damage, and smashing your forces together in combat. Nothing else really going on here. The alien player wins by eliminating all civilians, represented by brown cubes, from the board. The human player wins if they can inflict 30 points of damage to the alien ships. It's a race to who could accomplish their objective first. War of the Worlds, The New Wave, appeals to individuals searching for a military game that is easy to learn, easy to play, and takes around 30 minutes to complete a game. While the game is simple, it's still rather enjoyable to play. With just a tint of strategy hidden within the gameplay, my friends and I found ourselves playing it repeatedly, you know, switching sides, doing best out of 3. War of the Worlds, in my opinion, is quite the hidden gem. Okay, stop. Back it up. I can't do this. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. Okay, War of the Worlds, The New Wave, fails on multiple levels. First, the card selection is limited. Plenty of duplicate cards making subsequent games vastly less enjoyable to play. Even with having 2 distinct factions to try out, the card choices and abilities lose their appeal as the abilities are relatively the same in each faction. I have a card that allows me to heal. You have a card that allows you to heal. They may have different artwork and a different name, but fundamentally, they do the same thing. Second, there is an imbalance in how fast a player can get their engine built and the short, short duration of each game. Every time I play War of the Worlds, it feels like the moment my deck yields results, the game is one or two turns away from being over. This discourages players as you spend the majority of the game working towards a machine that you'll barely get to see run. Third, the combat damage system creates a substantial thematic disconnect. All units, I repeat, all units, spaceships, tanks, buildings, military ships, and regular civilians all take one damage to destroy. One damage. One damage! You heard me. One stroke of damage can zap an individual dead, or it can sink an entire destroyer ship. What was the designer thinking? Well, perhaps he wanted the game to be less math-oriented and straightforward, but come on, man. When it takes a player six turns to build a giant ship, it upsets them that their shiny brand spanking new vessel is at the bottom of the Atlantic with 1 point of damage. I don't particularly appreciate, well, in fact, I absolutely hate how the damage assignment and value are utilized. However, War of the Worlds, A New Wave, eh, it's still quite an enjoyable experience despite the issues. There's a lot to enjoy with the game, and here's why, at the end of the day, I can be completely objective. The game knows what it is. It doesn't try to be something it's not. It's a simplistic, short-duration war game for beginners. This is why I can objectively see tons of entertainment value. With aliens and humans blowing each other up, what's not to love? I recommend War of the Worlds, A New Wave, as an excellent fit for teenagers interested in combat games or siblings looking to square off and fight each other at the dining room table rather than beating the snot out of each other in the backyard. Speaking of, where was this game when I was growing up? My younger brother and I sure could have used a game like War of the Worlds. So give it a shot. The game, that is, not beating up your sibling in the backyard. Once again, my name is Andrew Davidson. Thank you for stopping by my academy to level up. I hope I've given you something to think about.